You are listening to In Response, a legacy podcast. A show where three handsome guys talk about their favorite Magic the Gathering format, Legacy. This show is brought to you by QueerNessAtAnyCost.com and Austrian-Legacy.com. You can support the show at patreon.com/response_legacy. And now, lean back and enjoy.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 59 Up the Beancast of
In Response,
a Legacy Beancast.
I'm Philip Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about Legacy.
Bean amount of time.
Okay guys, I have something that happened and is kind of unbelievable actually that I can tell you.
You saw Peter naked.
It's very believable because we play basketball together. So
I was going to say that. No, as you know, we currently started the 9th season of our Austrian Legacy League, which is currently happening. And we have now a third week or so coming up. And I attended the first event and I brought a deck that hadn't Brainstorm or Ponder in it.
What the fuck? I mean, you crushed me, so yeah, I know it, but what the fuck?
It was not even having any kind of blue. It was completely non-blue, which is something that didn't really happen for me for a long, long period
Who
of time.
Who are you and what have you done with Daniel?
Yeah, it felt really dirty, to be honest. It felt...
Yes, I can totally feel this. Yeah. Turn one opposition agent.
We played it against each other,
Doesn't really feel good. Yeah. That feels dirty.
I sleeved up the mono-black besiege or mid-range or however you want to call it. Stompy mid-range kind of deck, and it felt so good. Besiege the Mirror is something that is just, I don't know, it's one hell of a drug, to be honest. It was so good. Yeah, Philip, as you said, we played against each other, and I just demolished everybody.
Basically everybody, yeah.
It was really crazy, yeah.
I mean, I put up a good fight, but in the end, getting opposition agent locked out is just, yeah.
I felt really dirty at certain kind of moments, to be honest. But the list is just good, and I'm really interested that I think there is hardly any people playing it, actually. And besides the one big showing, of course, which happened a couple of weeks ago, it was the winning list of Judas František.
Judas František.
And he won the European Legacy Masters in Bologna.
So congrats, Judas.
Absolutely. I love the deck. Only changed a couple of cards and then went 5-0 with the list. So perfect. And besides that, we can also say something for the European Legacy Masters besides that, which was, I think, for all of us, a really great event. I think we can agree here.
Yeah, I'm also pretty sure that most of our listeners have already looked into the stream and have us seen commentating on, I think, 4 out of 10 rounds or something like
in
that.
In total, it should be 4, yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 4 rounds. And what's really great about this event is that we all are representatives of Austria for the European Legacy Masters Committee. And actually, I gotta say, it was really great to be, or it is really great to be a part of this. And we're already working on the 2024 iteration of the European Legacy Masters. And yeah, it will be interesting what the future will bring here.
I think you have mentioned that the awards can be seen online, right?
Oh yeah. So for everybody who simply can't get enough of us,
this is a usual way to say it.
Just head on to the European Legacy Masters YouTube channel, and there you can see all the matches and all the nice commentary of the three guys at the European Legacy Masters.
yeah, it was a really great experience to watch the crowd, watch the players. And some things that we also done for the event was social media coverage, actually. Yeah. We did a lot of interviews on the scene with the players in the background, with players, organizers, reps, participations, previous players that didn't qualify, like Sam Dams.
Ouch.
<Yeah. laughs>
But
no name dropping, actually, but that's fine.
But yeah, our listeners can find these very nice interviews on it's a little bit hard to find them on Twitter, actually.
Really? It is the European Legacy Masters Twitter.
Yeah, but I don't like the interface of Twitter, or X, how is it called now.
Will be Twitter, and it will always be there.
But I don't like the interface when you're searching for a specific tweet.
Yeah, you
have a little bit older.
Yeah, you have to really scroll down and find it if you know exactly where it is. So or you can bookmark it.
That's true. But if you really want to go easy on it and just find it, go to the European Legacy Masters Instagram account. It's EU Legacy Masters.
Yeah. And I think due to that event and also the Austrian Legacy Masters, which happened also quite some time ago also.
Yeah, but we had I think one or two episodes in between.
One episode.
Okay. Yeah. I think there was a lot of things going on, like in the major event category, and therefore we haven't been posting too regularly lately. But this will be changing, of course, in the future again.
Yeah, actually,
our summer break.
Yeah.
Let's call it that way, because running big tournaments is really a hassle. So.
Yep. But we will do. We'll really like to continue with next year also, and
and get both podcasting and the big tournaments into one hat, and just
is a little bit much.
Yeah, but we try to be better.
We just release a voice coverage of a round that we will cover at the ELM, and you will get it as a sound interface on your Spotify app or something like that.
Yeah.
So we have an episode to schedule.
Yeah.
that's a nice idea.
Nothing on the screen.
Or again, how's it called? A burn mirror.
A burn mirror. Ah, yeah, we had this before.
But well, just to recap a little bit, we also played at the Four Seasons. Was it summer? Four Seasons Summer on Sunday.
Yeah.
I went 0-3 drop. What about you guys, Daniel?
Let me think. I think I don't have too good of a memory, so I think I also went, I think it was 1-3 and drop or something like this. Because I touched the oh my god, I cannot say. Why do you remember this, Philip? Why do you make me remember this? I touched Yorion breakfast. What the fuck did I think about this? Come on.
Yeah, play 20 more cards in your combo deck. No. That has to be good.
Yeah, it looked so good on paper, and we talked a lot about the breakfast guys, and shout outs to Lorenzo, Niccolo, and Eric, and all the other guys. But it didn't really pan out. It was so bad, to be honest. And Eric, for example, did Eric Santo. You know him pretty well for the listeners. He's a Slovakian player, also pretty successful for attending both European Legacy Masters so far. And he's also playing Breakfast. And he brought the better version, which is just full in combo with Pacts and Orim's Chant, and just going all in on the combo, which I like quite a bit more than a Yorion version. I mean, yeah, it has potential, but it didn't come together for me, obviously.
In my opinion, it's something like, I also don't like Yorion Death Shadow or something. I mean,
it doesn't make sense.
It's counterintuitive. It's like putting Swords to Plowshares in your Delver list.
But which happened in the past.
Yeah, it happens, but it isn't the mainstay, because it just has a non-bow and it just doesn't work really well. Yeah. I mean, I can maybe in Bent Delver or some crazy tempo bruise, but if you pair it with Lightning Bolt, it just has to be bad.
The real big problem with Yorion is, like, when you compare it to, like, Breakfast and Death Shadow, is like, those are decks that want to be really fast.
Yeah.
And if you want to be really fast, you have to have the consistency. Yeah. If you are going for a mid-range deck, you're an absolutely makes sense.
And for control deck also you are makes total sense. So
absolutely
no offense here for all Yoren enjoyers, but pick your poison, guys. Really, I mean, if you want to go fast, if you want to play combo, do it. Play with 60 cards. I mean,
the idea was not to be fast, of course. Obviously, the idea was to have a solid plan B, which was not the case since Bowmaster was printed, and it hurt the deck definitely. And now, yeah, we tried it with Yorion, but it looks good on paper, but you just, as you said, Peter, you're losing the consistency, and not only for the combo, but also for the mid-range elements itself also, because Breakfast has a lot of dead cards like Dread Return, like Nakomivas, like actually also Nomads and Illusionist, which you draw. Or can draw, and then maybe you now need four, so now you need a Sorcerer Blouches or something like this. So it is a really big thing that is just jammed together, and you draw a lot of wrong cards. This was my experience.
Yeah,
but it was, I think, way better for you, Peter, actually.
Yeah, it was X2 when I finished the tournament at 7-2, so I had a really nice discussion driving in the car with our guys down to Italy, where I got hammered.
I knew that this would find its way into the cast. I have known this.
He gotta make it.
Go ahead. No, we basically had the discussion when we drove to Italy, because we wanted to include white in the deck. Callum Smith from the Everyday Eternal podcast talked about like playing Swords to Plowshares, because it's in this meta really strong, because it's a solid answer against every black creature in the format. Bolt has some disadvantages specifically against Troll, Murktide Regent, for example, and Shield Dread. So you want to have the Swords to have a really nice answer. And there was the discussion for me, because like switching the deck like 2 days prior to a big tournament is like my thing to do.
True.
And actually, for all our listeners out there, if you are really proficient with a deck, don't switch it up one day before the tournament. Just simply don't. It's just not the right thing to do, and it's mostly a bad idea.
Mm. Yeah. Because like when you switch your deck or slots of your deck around, you really lose the reps. And here comes the crucial point, which I made when switching the deck. I basically switched removal spells for better removal spells and cut the Orcish Bowmasters to have like less reliance on black, and included the white for plateaus. So I basically had the same game plan with the deck, with the same slots diluted to removal and stuff like that. So I didn't really have to learn a new deck, because everything stayed the same besides the 4 Swords to Plowshares and the 1 Canonist, which was a flex slot instead of the Orcish Bowmasters in the main deck. So this was the kind of big deal, because a lot of players played Karn now, and with Karn you have a wish board and everything gets really messed up when you don't have the reps with it. So really nice day, played against a lot of black decks, finished 7-2, had like my best round or match I ever played against lands, where I faced on turn 3 a Ghost Squatter, Urza Saga, and another land with the artifact where you can play lands from a graveyard.
Crucible of Worlds,
and I still won the game, which was like a miracle on its own. But Magus of the Moon is one hell of a drug.
Against lands specifically. Yeah,
and yeah, was a really awesome tournament. Good for a 16th place, finishing with 150 in a bounty.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, losing round 8 on stream versus the eventual winner of the tournament on, I think it was like 8 key. It's the combo deck.
Was he the winner? I think because they split it in the top 8, right? So
yeah, he was the only one with 8 or 1.
So Mystic Forge combo.
Mystic Forge combo, exactly. But awesome tournament. We'll want to go to it back again next year.
And we can only recommend it to anybody who thinks about it and is near. And also, if you don't near, come to Bologna. It's happened every 3 months. It's really great.
Awesome location, awesome food, awesome community, awesome shops, good prices on cards.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a nice summary right there.
There's actually nothing bad about it, to be honest.
No. I think the best thing about the location is that there is a restaurant right in there.
They have like a buffet or kind of a...
Yeah, the restaurant.
Yeah. It takes some time, of course. You cannot really quickly go and grab something. But if you drop, like us, for example, we did
this. Well, yeah.
We went to the 1303 and restaurant bracket. It was also nice, but could be better. Next time, yeah, we will crush it.
Everything is well-priced there. Yeah. Nothing is overpriced. You get like pizza, I think, for 2 or 3 euros.
As it is in Bologna.
It's insane. Really nice.
Okay.
But do we get to the bean point of the day?
Yeah, we jump right onto the beanstalk here.
Absolutely. I think I know where I get my proteins from. It's from beans.
Because you're a vegan.
Yes.
You bring it up every time. Do you know that?
Yes. I'm sorry. But this is not true. This is not true.
It's kind of funny.
I dare to disagree. Okay, but...
Yeah. I think... We mis-evaluated up the beanstalk a little bit.
Yeah.
In the last episode. We talked
about it with Saha, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we said it would be just a flash fire and we'd be tried out. And
I mean, come, Sylvan Library is just better, right?
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Maybe. That's what we thought. And now suddenly up the beanstalk decks or lists are popping up everywhere. And in all kinds of archetypes, all kinds of strange configurations, color combinations. And what I really find fascinating is that cards that never got played in Legacy or that seldom got played suddenly have a time to shine just because of the beanstalk makes it... How should I say this?
Yeah, it just adds the best mechanic of Magic to the card.
Yeah,
which is draw a card.
Everything is Strix now, or Elvish Visionary.
Yeah. Every card in your deck is a cantrip. This is...
Who doesn't like the 2-mana 8/8 flying that draws you a card when it enters the battle?
two mana, to be honest. 2-mana 8/8 flying and draw a card. Why not? No, it's really good. And the thing, of course, is that when you play it, it cantrips on its own. This is very important.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it definitely would not be very, very good. But as you said, there's a lot of new cards and also old cards that have not seen play for a long time, actually, being picked up again
Stuff like from the old Canadian Threshold days, Hooting Mandrels, for example, which was played as the body of Tarmogoyf back in the days, who is now the body of the Murktide.
Exactly, yeah. Why you can only stick to one kind of Delph threat when you can have another one. And this Rug version, for example, this is...
I think, just for our listeners right here, at first we thought that Up the Beanstalk was an easy slot into control.
Yeah.
And we were...
Yeah, this was discussion.
Yeah, we were really surprised when we saw it get played in Delver. And so this is the list that we're now talking about. This is Rug Beanstalk Delver.
Yeah, but without Delver, actually.
Without Delver,
I would say it is
Rug Tempo.
Yeah, it is still Tempo, but it is on the mid-range side of things, I would say.
Beanstalk slide.
Yeah.
I mean, it basically is something that we experienced a little bit, I would say, in the Rug days with Dreaded Arcanist. I think basically the Beanstalk is like the Arcanist slot of the deck. Arcanist wasn't really the card that dealt a lot of damage.
No.
It was like the 1-3 that drew you a card every turn.
Yeah.
And I think Beanstalk serves a similar role without being able to get bolted or hydroblasted. And you have like the Dragon Rage Channeler to fill in the graveyard which you can use for a lot of Delph cards. And we have like a newly introduced, it was played like 2-3 years ago, but it's now a flex slot in the deck with Magmatic Sinkhole, actually.
I think it was played in the Ragavan times, am I right?
Yeah, it was played because it hit Planeswalker also. It was, I think, it was the same set, right? In the Renin 6 area also.
Or was it? No, this wasn't Ragavan. Ragavan was...
No, it was not Ragavan. It was, I think, Renin 6.
Renin 6, yeah, probably Renin 6.
The three cards are from the same set.
Mm.
No, Ragavan is Modern Horizons 2.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So it was back. Yeah,
yeah, Modern Horizons 1.
It could kill a Tarmogoyf easily. There it was, yeah.
It was 5 damage, and you could kill a Renin 6 most likely, or, yeah, any other Planeswalker. And in Rag Colors, killing Planeswalkers was hard to do when you only have bolts normally. So Sinkhole was pretty strong back in the day. And now, if you add draw a card, it's also pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, delving away the lands, the baubles, and yeah, some Ponders or Brainstorms just to kill a Minskin Boo.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds pretty solid.
Yeah.
And speaking of Minskin Boo, this deck leans even a little bit more into the midrange sides, into the midrange side, because it plays also 2 Minskin Boo in the sideboard.
Yep.
Yeah, so Minskin Boo is like the flex slot against slower decks that we have seen, I think, actually for the last half year or something like that. It was always like a 2 off in the board, because it's like insane when it drops down. And especially with lists like this, where you basically pressure your opponent to lose a lot of cards at the early turns, you are able to drop in the big 4 drop.
Yeah, that's true. And what I really like about this all is through this higher, we see a lot of black, obviously, at the moment still.
It's
still
a lot of Bowmaster.
Bowmaster is still, and Grief and Reanimate is still running around. So Veil of Summer is one of the better cards to have in your 75 at the moment. And this Rag Delver version gets to play it, obviously. A really strong card. And on the other hand, also what I like, if you look at the sideboard still, because of a lot of people playing Beanstalk, a lot of people are then again, besides black, ditching into green. A card like Submerge is still is again playable, which is very, very nice, I think. Triggering the Beanstalk and just bouncing another threat. It was a mainstay card in the past, but yeah.
Especially against the menace that was Depths.
Yeah, for example.
Previous iterations.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dark Depths was, yeah, like I said, the menace or the most, or the best counterpart against Delver for a long time.
A long time, yeah.
So 1-2 Submerge was pretty much a mainstay all the time in the sideboard. What I really find funny here in this list, because things like Megamantic Sinkhole can be played. What do you guys think about Thunderous Wrath in something like Rag Delver?
But I don't know. It sounds really fun, obviously.
Miracle for 1.
Yeah.
Shooting 5 damage and in your face and draw a card. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this sounds insane.
It sounds really like, oh my god, this is something that you want to tick off your bucket list or something.
Yeah,
sure. Obviously, for this kind of strategy, it kind of not really fits the bill, because it's more like a mid-range strategy and you don't necessarily want to go with that and deal 5 damage to... But is it to everything, or is it just to the face? I think it's to the face.
No, you can choose the target. It's like a bolt. It's any target.
Okay, yeah. Seems a little bit... You kind of have to set it up or be lucky.
Yeah.
If you draw it with the other Beanstalk triggers and it's not your first draw, you can simply put 2 of them back or something.
Yeah. Technically, yeah.
Yeah, one big thing with decks like those is like you have to really weigh your consistency.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is just for crossing out the bucket list. I mean, you
but
have
it's
to
the
do 61st. Some things.
The purpose is pretty clear, yeah.
To win a game with Thunderous Wrath, drawing a card next turn, flip Thunderous Wrath again.
Yeah, that's true. But we previously talked about like having edge against Depths with Submerge. We have another build of Beanstalk that has really insane game against Depths,
and
because
this
it's banned.
Oh yeah, oh my gosh.
Without red.
So this is now really my jam. I mean, regular listeners of our cast will probably know what I'm talking about, because this is banned now with a girl I really like. It's St. Catherine.
Yeah.
Gosh, I thought it was Liliana.
Yeah, this would be... I can relate to that.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, it's now... How's the meme called where Liliana's not my friend anymore. Now Triumph is my best friend or something like that.
Yeah.
This is Catherine and Beanstalk from Extortion.
That's
unfortunately, Triumph of Saint Catherine is still not on MTGO, so we can't try this out online. So we have to rely on paper play here. But this sounds just this looks just insane. Triumph of Saint Catherine also triggers Beanstalk. It's miracle. It's like Thunderous Wrath, but better.
Yeah. Multiple Thunderous Wrath every turn.
Oh yeah. To attack for 5. If it gets killed, you just shuffle it in top some card and then triggering Beanstalk again. Oh my god. How good is that?
Yeah, the big thing here is like you have a lot of the removal spells that are better now with Swords of Plowshares. You have Prismatic Engine ending, which you can actually overpay, so you can trigger the Beanstalk if you really want. I think we mentioned it like in the last episode. And one cool thing is a flex slot in the deck is something that we have seen previously in Tempo Doomsday. And it's Temporal. Does Tempo Doomsday come from Temporal Mastery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also that you, because
you're a tempo deck.
Yeah, you would usually go Murktides and then Mastery, and just attack. Okay. This is a tempo game plan, but the name also.
Okay, because you're playing Temporal Mastery.
This is now such a mind blown moment for Peter right there.
I mean, I knew it played a tempo shell, but I didn't really recognize the name. But Temporal Mastery is basically the miracle, how's it called? The power 9 card that you get an extra turn.
Time work, if you miracle it, yeah. And this is pretty insane, actually, with Triumph. And also pretty insane with Teferi.
Yeah.
Because his opponent can't interact with you, and that's just so great.
Absolutely. This build looks really, really fun to play. It is... I would also classify it as a mid-range deck, because the threat that wins the game is actually just Catherine. Oh, and Murktide. Okay, yeah. Otherwise, but still, yeah. Pretty, mid-rangey, I would say. However, it looks really nice. A lot of things going well for the deck. And I could also see myself trying something out like this.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Teferi can reset the Beanstalk.
It can reset the Beanstalk, that's true.
So I draw 2 cards here.
Yeah.
Or 3 cards with a Beanstalk, a Teferi, and then a Beanstalk again. It's 3 cards.
So you can have a little bit of a value engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we also have the 6 forces and the 2 days. Actually, I don't really get the 2 days. I'm not a tempo player myself. So please enlighten me here.
It is definitely a flex slot, but if you look at the mana costs, a lot of things are going on at 2 mana, and I guess you often have situations where you have to tap out, and having this extra days effect can help to punch through your spells, that's for sure. And as you are also often tapped out, it is just the extra 2 copies of mana-less interaction that you sometimes need against opponents. So I definitely see a days like this, it rounds out the deck quite well. And you can also bot it out if you don't need it.
And one thing that we have to mention is like with Up the Beanstalk and this configuration where you have like a really big amount of cards that can actually trigger the Beanstalk with, I think it's 14 cards that can trigger Beanstalk, you will end up with a pretty hefty hand. So you can afford to use a lot more force effects to get rid of additional cards in your hand to clear opposing spells.
And also the nice thing is, of course, usually Force of Will is a card disadvantage. But when you have Beanstalk in play, you force, and then before the force even resolves or not, you can draw a card. Maybe find another force or something that you can fight through and just go on with this counter war.
Yeah, and with forces, you pretty much go even now with Beanstalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really strong point.
And even, I mean, this would be a funny interaction. Imagine you force the play of your opponent with the Beanstalk, and then you draw a Temporal Mastery, and then you miracle it, then you have 2 turns now.
And you draw another card.
That's probably game over right there.
It's pretty strong, yeah.
Yeah, this deck can do a lot of stuff, and I really hope that we can get Caffrine soon on MTG. I think it was announced that it will be Q4 or something like that, but
yeah,
unsure about it. We will see when Warhammer hits the shelves.
I think this is very strange how Wizards gets their cards onto MTG.
It's now Daybreak Games.
Yeah, because right now, for example, we have Pair of Dice Lost available. I don't know if you've seen this, but a lot of Storm players are playing the card on Magic Online, and it pulls its weight. A lot of positive responses I've seen so far, although nothing really spectacular, because it kind of is overshadowed with Besiege.
And Mind's Desire...
Well, Mind's Desire was kind of non-existent, actually.
Really?
No, there was not. For Ant, at least, or... test a little bit, but then Besiege came out.
The card.
Okay, we don't need you anymore.
But funny thing is, today I listened to the Eternal Glory podcast from Brianville and Brian.
Yeah,
and they're talking about also about Besiege the Mirror, and he said something like, "The ANT community is already ditching Besiege again."
Yeah, I think they never really took it up, to be honest.
Okay.
They never really tried it fully and extensively. There was only one guy who was really contemplating and fighting hard for that, and I would be on his side, which is Jax.
Jax.
He said he want, at least what I was going on in Discord, what I can tell you is that there was a lot of discussion, and a lot of people actually didn't really, were not convinced about this Besiege, and Chex was kind of the only one who really thought, why would you try anything else than 4 Besiege and 1 Gaea's Will at least, and then some people are trying it and to decent success, but there's a lot of people who just go with 1 Besiege because it doesn't really work with Ad Nauseam and all these kind of things. So
I think it's a strange. Big problem for the ANT players is like reconstructing the mana base with additional artifact mana is a big point, because it with 4 Lotus Petal, 4 Lines of Diamond, you can't support Besieges. Nope. You need Chromoxes, like 3 of those
territory,
and then you are basically into test.
Yeah, this is what Brian said on the Discord. He said kind of a lot of this problem is because the Storm community feels uncomfortable in going into a different direction with the deck. They are kind of so heavily engraved with this kind of shell. They don't want to touch any holy cards, you know, like that are, I don't know, fixed completely. And that's the reason why they are kind of hesitant and hesitating or preventing themselves from trying and exploring new areas of the deck. And I think Ant needs to adapt. It cannot just be magically the same shell will be good again. You need to change it completely to a certain extent.
Actually, in my opinion, what we're seeing here right now... The podcast today is about Beanstalk, but just a little excursion here into Besiege territory. In my opinion, Besiege is such a powerhouse of a card that it will inevitably... merge ANT and TS into the new superior Storm list or superior Storm deck, and both decks will probably cease to exist, in my opinion.
Could be. I mean, I guess except for the players who still want to play old school style, you know, they just can't choose to play a Burst version.
Yeah. But both versions will be inferior to the Besiege the Mirror Storm list. And I just hope some person on this planet will invent a nice name for this and don't call it such Besiege the Mirror Storm or some shit name like that.
To be honest, the shell I think is close to existing already, which is just Black Saga Storm.
Yeah.
I think what's a saga is just a must in combination with Besiege the Mirror.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and no, neither Ant or Tess plays Saga.
Yeah, and something like that, and maybe then include Gaea's Will or
is also
because like Tess is playing 1 Gaea's Will. I'm on the camp that TS does not really need Urza Saga to support it, because they have such a big amount of, I think they had 15 fast mana in artifacts, which is like, they have the numbers to support the card, but as we previously mentioned, in ENT, it doesn't really work because they have to reconstruct the mana base, the shell, and a lot more.
Yeah.
So Beseech is such a card that has so many unique things about it, with requirements, with bargaining, because like if you're playing bargain cards, there are tokens really important. Like, because we are excursion now from Beanstalk, I'm make the excursion now to Modern.
because that's far-fetched. That's far-fetched here.
No, because I'm thinking about getting back a little bit in Modern, because like Wednesday's a day where I can play Magic actually, and I will try X. And X is a deck with a lot of artifacts. They are also playing...
I cannot play that.
and it's also playing Virtus Saga, so you have a lot of artifacts to support the card and stuff like that. So you really need a shell to work for the card. It's a really, really powerful card, just as LED, but you have to have the right place to play the card.
Is Empty the Warrens legal in Modern?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. But it's not so good.
I mean, with Beseech? Ah, Vault of Whispers is banned, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's
and Moxopal also, so...
Okay, yeah, no and Lotus Petals. Now it gets a little bit harder.
Moxopal was actually never played in X.
And maybe not in X, but in Affinity.
Back in Affinity.
Yeah,
I just thought about making Black Saga Storm or something in Modern.
Without Dark Ritual.
Yeah, you cannot.
Oh yeah, no cover ritual, no dark ritual.
There is no Black Storm in Modern.
My life.
You cannot play.
That's why I simply can't go back to Modern.
But you can play Infernal Tutor. That's very
but without
nice.
LED.
Without LED.
Ah, that's not,
a also without Lotus Petal. So you don't have anything.
Yeah, I know why I'm not getting into Modern. Yeah.
But I think we can try and have a look at another of these beans.
Yeah.
So originally talk about.
We have now a really beanie soup.
Yeah.
It's
like a stew already.
Well, it's more like a watery. It's more watery in my opinion. So because it's green and blue beanstalk mid-range control. I don't know how I should call it. But this list from Marco Montani is probably one of the most interesting things I have seen in a long time in Legacy.
Yeah.
Because of one interaction. And it's Yamimava with a place it's submerged in the main deck.
Yeah.
I totally missed this. So they're playing two Yamimava Cradle of Glow with four submersion for up the beanstalk so they can bounce anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also.
This is the crazy part.
Yeah, so cool. That's why they're playing Crop Rotation, Elvish Reclaim, and I thought for myself, so why are they playing the one of Crop Rotation, Elvish Reclaim, just for getting Yavimayo?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why should I need the green mana? And now you're pointing out to me that something. Well, I totally missed this.
I thought this was the selling point of the deck.
Yeah, it probably is. But it looked pretty great. Even without knowing this, without getting the interaction right here.
What else does it have? It has Hooding Mandrels. Where this is very surprising to me. Ah, okay, there is still a playset. No.
Three Mercury Regions.
Three, okay, interesting. So, okay.
Three Mercury Regions, three Hooding Mandrels.
Yeah.
And really interesting, two Vanishment.
What does this card do?
I don't have an idea. It's something like a bounce miracle spell.
It can bounce a non-land permanent, target non-permanent in his Miracle 1 blue.
We are looking it up, not vanishing, but it's just Vanishment. So, Vanishment, Everson Restored, yeah. Just show me the card.
Yeah.
Put target non-permanent on top of its owner's library, Miracle for one blue.
This is good.
That's instant, that sounds really nice.
It's a really good card actually, if you can play it for one. And it draws you a card.
Yeah.
Suddenly you get a lot of tempo.
But you really have to explain me now what this two of Commandeer does.
Yeah, so what Commandeer? Commandeer, we don't look it up right now. I try to get it right. We know the mana cost, it's 7, so 5 and 2 blue. And you can exile 2 blue cards from your hand instead of paying the mana cost.
Is it instant?
Yeah. It's instant. Yeah. And it has... gain control of target
spell.
Is it spell or is it non-creature spell?
It's spell. You may change the target.
Yeah.
So you can counter a Karn of your opponent, for example.
A Karn.
The Great Greater, for example.
Yeah, okay. For example,
then you have a Karn the Great Greater.
Yeah. You change the
you gain control of the spell.
And you gain control of the spell and you can change the targets.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can you simply counter it with the commander and then you get it yourself.
Okay. Interesting. I mean,
it won't get countered because you just gain control of the card.
What would be the case if the spell would be targeting let's say I gain control of a spell my opponent is casting.
Yeah.
And it targets.
Yeah. You may change the target.
But if I cannot change the target to a different one, if it's not legal anymore, for example, it could be, what does lava spike means? Target opponent loses 3 life, right?
Yeah.
No, if, it's target. Is it target opponent? Target player.
Target player.
Target player.
Target player?
Yeah.
What if both players have a lead in, if my opponent have a lead in the sanctity?
So you can change it.
Then you cannot change it.
If there, but the huge thing with Commandeer is like is it, gaining control of the spell.
I mean, this is probably the. I mean, like, I need like a card that says target opponent.
Yeah, and then it doesn't work.
Then it doesn't work.
But
right?
For this, you have Force of Will and things.
You know what I mean? If there's a Leland and Sanctity in hand.
Yeah, but these are so niche cases.
You're making made up.
I'm just thinking what would happen because I can gain control. This is what I
you
can.
You gain control.
But
you
what
may
happens
change
then?
Targets.
Yeah, but what if.
Like Duritz. Duritz says target opponent reveals.
Exactly. Yeah. If I have Leland and Sanctity, I cast Duritz on my opponent, and my opponent commandeers the Duritz. What will happen?
Okay, because
you cannot resolve it correctly if you don't change the target, and if you change the target, you also cannot because you cannot change the target.
Yeah, then it fizzles.
It just fizzles.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but I guess if it is what this card does.
So okay, gather a ruling.
Okay.
It's nice that we can just edit out that area.
Any instance of you in that spell text now refers to you, an opponent refers to one of your opponents,
yeah,
and
exactly.
So on. So you can change the duress to your opponent.
Yeah.
No, not if he has a
Lane of Sanctity.
Yeah, this was my specific situation. What if he has a Lane of Sanctity?
Fizzle.
Because there is no legal target, right?
The change of control.
Yeah, it doesn't resolve for having legal targets.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's just fizzles. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Really, really unimpressive. It just fizzles.
Okay. And it's gain control of target non-creatures.
Yeah. Ha, I was right. Bam.
But I made that case with Karn, so I was right too.
Yeah, for sure. That's true. But it's target non-creature spell.
And how would you play this card? Just to steal a valuable card from your opponent?
It's a force.
It's a force also, of course.
You can steal a beanstalk.
Yeah,
you can steal a beanstalk. You can steal...
But it doesn't trigger.
A temporal mastery,
sure,
you can
triggers.
Steal it.
No.
I mean, it comes into play and then you draw a card because...
Yeah, but not off commandeer.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's true. But you draw a card from the deck. I think there are a lot of use cases here. The problem I see with commandeer that it's not that widely played is that you have to pitch 2 cards. It's insanely card negative.
Yes.
That's so you have to... But you really have to gain control of a spell that would win the game.
Yeah.
Right there.
It was previously, I know I'm talking again about modern, in modern played from various blue tempo decks against Tron in modern actually.
Yeah.
Because you could gain control of Karn Liberated to exile your opponent's lands.
Vampcal Engine or something like this. Something big, yeah. And do you need to exile 2 blue cards? Or
2 blue cards.
Okay, yeah.
Blue cards, yeah.
Very restrictive, obviously.
Yeah, but it's a cool niche card and the concept with Yamemaya, with Submerge is a cool thing to enable the card for yourself.
Seems very spicy to be... It's spicy, yeah.
But yes, he's 10-0 with the deck, so... 2-5-0.
I guess it's really surprising for the opponents to when they don't typically play around.
Yeah, and they wait for the red spells because usually those Pines are Rag and stuff like that. So it's a really, really nice concept.
Yeah.
But one thing about nice concepts, even we are talking about beans today, is we're talking about the quest now. And
wait, what? That was a quite a different topic now.
Let him elaborate.
But we don't seek the beans, we seek the beast. And there is a card that was like previously played. It was, how was the deck called? Miracle Grow.
Miracle Grow, or after they put into Psychotalk into it, it was Grow a Talk.
And we're talking about Questing Dryad, I think it was called, and now we have Questing Druid.
It was Quirion Dryad.
Quirion Dryad. Now we have Questing Druid, which is basically the powerhouse now built on the previously played card, which is for 2 mana, a 1/1 whenever you play a spell that's basically not mono.
Not green.
Green. You put a +1/+1 count on it.
Does it trigger twice if multiple multicolor?
No, no, only for
one
instance. When you cast a spell that's white, black, blue, or red.
Okay.
But it also has an adventure time on it. And this is Seek the Beast, and this is basically an instant reckless impulse.
Oh wow!
Instant for two cards,
for two cards.
Oh, wow, this is really a value.
Okay, yeah. This card sounds really good now that you've pointed out the instant to me.
Yes, instant.
Yeah.
Until your next end step.
Yeah.
Like Reckless
really
Impulse.
Really good, actually. Is it just a better impulse?
It's just a better impulse. It's simply straight up. Yeah, not really. Why? I mean, you can make the niche case of having a sorcery in a graveyard for Dragon's Rage Chandler.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's the only thing where I can see it.
Okay, yeah. But if in graveyard, this puts a creature into graveyard, which is also pretty one of the
harder things to get.
That's
true.
Yeah. But this is basically a concept that is running around. We already have top 16 from MTGO challenges, where this is played instead of the Beanstalk, because it's the card advantage engine now, where you can play a lot lower to the curve. You can play Delvas, Dragon Rage Channelers. You don't have to play the Hooting Mandrills. And you have also the card advantage. But,
this just looks like straight up blue red Delva with expressive iteration. This is just the expressive iteration slot.
This is just but it's the additional threat.
But it comes back as a creature. So.
I gotta say, I like this list a lot more than the Beanstalk Rug list. This is more my feeling of Delva.
This is more tempo, yeah, absolutely more.
I really like this, and at first I was not really sold because I thought Seek the Beast, the adventure side, was sorcery.
Yeah.
And therefore it was like, the questing druid dies to Bowmaster. It's it's just not that good. But now it's that this thing is instant.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh my god, you can end of turn.
You can draw two cards,
play it with your untap your lands and then play the things. That's the problem with Reckless Impulse, because it was sorcery speed and you always had to use your mana in your turn.
Yep.
Yeah. And therefore, this thing is just insane.
And one big thing is like you can now seek the beast in response to.
Into Chand, yeah. This would be one grindy, perfectly fitting card for Chand, yeah.
I think you should play your Naya lists again with this card instead of Reckless Impulse.
Naya and Catherine. So,
Naya. This is a non-bo.
This is a non-bo with Catherine.
Well.
It's exile fine. Catherine, cast it for 5 next turn.
It's not good. No. But maybe a Naya list could be worth it.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool card. The instant aspect is really, really strong because like you can use your mana really, really efficiently. And yeah, you still have the good Delva threat base of Delva, Dragon Rage Channeler, and Murktide Regent.
Yeah, yeah. Just the expressive iteration
list, thread. Basically.
Yeah, list, yeah. Very nice. I like it. It's a good, nice option to have for Delver players.
I was taken, by surprise here.
But talking about beans again, we have the control beast of the format with up the beanstalk.
I think they're like Well, we have seen this band version, and I think there's also band control, not really necessarily four color like we see here from this Claudio Bonanni list that top eight at the European Legacy Masters. But this version also is pretty nice. So a lot of the best cards of the format kind of jammed into one list together.
Yeah.
And here I have to say, you like the list, Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah, and I know why. Because it's four color control and it doesn't play Yorion.
It doesn't play Yorion. That's a bonus.
It's 60 cards, no Yorion.
Oh no, I just hate Yorion.
Yeah, one to be big honest. Thing is with the four color lists, with Up the Beanstalk, you kind of have to play Lane and Binding now because it's the thing that allows you to easily trigger Up the Beanstalk. Claudio Bonanni also played three terminals in the main deck, which is like, if you have a lot of them,
it's
very easy to set up them. You can use them for a 1-1. You trade for one creature, you draw a card from the beanstalk.
Oh, wow.
It's insane.
That's just, if it terminates the whole board when you draw a card, you're so far ahead. Oh my God, it's just that you can just scoop up.
The only thing that I still don't really like is that it only has three sorts of plowshares.
Yeah.
I think I would, even though it's not working with Beanstalk, but I would just cut one Leyland Binding or one Veil of Summer even, something, because four swords is still, it's the best removal spell. Come on.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to have the four swords, right?
You could even try and cut the one Endurance.
But for example, also, it would also
just
work.
A little bit random, just put the Endurance into the sideboard and call it a day. I don't think you need it really much. But four swords, in my opinion, seem really set in stone, actually.
Very nice list. And it has also the Loam Engine, to be fair, with one Wasteland, one Sanctuary.
And two Lauren Revealed.
Two Lauren Revealed, which also can trigger Beanstalk, drawing four cards instead of three.
Better opportunity, yeah.
Yeah, why not? So, gotta get your value for five mana.
Yeah.
You know what? Up the Beanstalk with Troll of Khazad Dûm.
Yeah, hard cast, draw a card.
Well, that doesn't sound great.
Yeah, well, we are getting close to a chant list.
Yeah, a chant list already.
Up the Beanstalk, troll, then the questing druid. Perfect.
Yeah, Dacrytal. Yeah. Troll of Khazad Dûm.
Yeah, besiege the mirror. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, brewing up the real spice here.
But yeah.
For all our control aficionados, you should really check out this list from Claudio Bonanni, because in my opinion, it seems that this is the way to go if we want to go four color. Just ditch the Yorn already. Nobody needs it.
We know you want to play a good deck.
We are a Yorn hate podcast right now.
Yes.
Yorn needs very, very niche scenarios, and if you want to play a Streamland deck, it doesn't really work. I mean, for this four color control version, you would easily be able to fit in the fourth Swords to Plowshares, the fourth Leyland Binding, but what are then the good cards? How many forces do you want to play? How many of like other cards? You really want to get the Beanstalk going on turn two, turn three to get the triggering and stuff like that. So it's also a really important engine that provides the card. It's like, I mean, one thing that I like about Beanstalk is like the replacement now to Staff of the Storyteller. It's basically the same slot. And it does not need any mana to make any stuff.
Mm.
It's so good.
Yep.
I think these are really nice words to round out the cast.
I would say so, yeah.
So if you like what we are doing, check our beans at Twitter, x.com,
wherever,
at @response_legacy. Yeah, wherever. Actually, we're called everywhere the same. You can find me on X at PhinnickMTG, PhinnickMTG. I really hate X. Peter, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's UnicornLord.
You're the best.
MTG. Or only
Unicorn Lord, but the O in the Lord is a zero. So
Thank you very much.
I have to use your catchphrase. What have we come to?
A summer break really does empty my mind. But where can we find you, Daniel?
You can also find me on Twitter. It is at Flying Delver there. And I think what we also need to thank again is Our Beans, which is Christian Neutz, Matt Duncan,
and Moritz.
And Moritz.
Thank you very much. You keep this.
You keep the bean stock alive. In response, the end.
This was In Response, a Legacy Podcast. If you enjoyed the ride, feel free to support the show by following, leaving a review, or subscribe on patreon.com/response_legacy.